I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is the one and only Jake White. Hello, sir.
Hello, beautiful. How are you?
I am really tired, but very very energetic at the same time, somehow. On this blistering Wednesday, Tuesday. I don't know what day it is.
Don't mind me, I'm just getting a drink.
My intro today was very high-pitched, so very good. The Everything EPL podcast today, Jake, overtakes the A-League podcast, I think.
It does, yeah.
Which is interesting. Episode 32. It does. Well, I mean, it's already overtaken it, but now it's passed it by 10 episodes, which is something else. Yeah, look, we've got a bit of EPL to talk about today. Not too much, realistically. We're just going to recap the weekend's matches as well as have a look at tomorrow's matches. That's why we're bringing this episode out on a Tuesday as opposed to a Friday this week, in case people are unawares that tomorrow is the midweek fixtures.
Incredible scenes.
If you're listening in England, it'll be tonight is the midweek fixtures. So,
that's all about England listeners.
Yeah, I think we've got three, potentially.
300.
1,000.
300,000, imagine.
Yeah, with only 1,730,000 listens, which is actually a pretty good amount, to be honest, on JJ's Football Fix. Shout out to all those that have listened over the...
Your home of everything EPL.
Over the course of the last 55 posts we've made on this channel. That's a fair few. That's at least 55 hours worth of content.
So if you're ever bored for 55 hours,
well, just sit down, you know where relax, to go. Get some popcorn, get on the sofa, and get it flowing, because you're not missing out on much.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for someone just randomly to listen to a podcast from like earlier in the season, like when we did our predictions or something, and just call us like plebs and say we know absolutely nothing, all that stuff, because our predictions were probably absolutely... Tim Pollard, like I had, in all fairness, this was a bad prediction, but I had Andy Carroll to win the Golden Boot, so,
yeah. Well, I think in the final episode of the EPL podcast this season, maybe the week after the season's finished, we'll recap what we predicted at the start of the season, and we'll see how it goes and compares. I'm pretty sure we're going to do it disgustingly wrong,
because
we're both quite ambitious people in that regards with predictions made, and I... do believe that we've been at left field with a lot of them, and yeah. Although I don't think we said Chelsea will win the league because they had no European prediction, European football.
Ah, it's City to win the league.
Ah, well then. Still a chance with Chelsea dropping points this week, but obviously we'll talk about that now as we kick on. And talk about the first game, Jake, which is one that I'm happy we're getting out of the way nice and early. It's the Merseyside Derby, Liverpool. Beating us 3-1. We won't spend too much time on this. Sadio Mane opened the scoring. Matthew Pennington popped up in the 28th minute, can you believe it, of all players, Jake, to score his first ever Everton goal in his 28th minute on the pitch in the EPL this season. So, good on him. he was at fault, I would say, though, probably for the goal that we conceded 3 minutes later.
It was a good 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was a good 3 minutes while it lasted. Won't get that ever again.
It felt like 30 seconds.
It did feel like not even 3 minutes. But to be fair, I didn't even see the second goal. But Coutinho popped up and scored, which was, from replay, was actually a pretty decent finish. But once again, Joel Robles decided not to move. 60th minute, though. Robles... moved left, but he just took a step, so it's something different, I guess. Divock Origi scoring, pretty much put the game to bed. Everton looked pretty good in the second half, in parts, but essentially couldn't break Liverpool's defence in that time. Probably could have scored if Mignolet hadn't pulled off a ripper from the deflected shot, which probably a lot of keepers in the league would have conceded, but Mignolet being Mignolet does pull these out of his arse every so often.
Just in the derby.
Yeah, I think it goes to show the difference in class in the match was potentially the goalkeepers at the end of the day, because if Mignolet doesn't make that save, and then you'd think maybe the first, potentially the third, the keeper does save for us, if it's better than Robles, then it could be a different story. But in fairness to Robles, he did make a pretty decent save off, I think it was Alexander Arnold, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, a bad day for us at the office. I don't think we really expected to win. I think at best we were expecting, or not expecting, but hoping for a draw. Because realistically, we've been in good form. They've been sort of lacklustre this year. But I guess the likes of injuries to Coleman, Schneidel and Funes Mori did hurt. And essentially, that's potentially the difference, was just we were exposed through Holgate and Pennington, who struggled for the most part. Calvert-Lewin also didn't play too well, but it was just a bad day at the office for us. And hopefully we can kick on with a win tomorrow, Jake. Might make us feel a little bit better about ourselves.
Yeah. I'm not even going to beat around the bush. I was absolutely gutted this game. I didn't go into it with too much hope as such, because I've been supporting Everton since 2002, and I've never seen us win at Anfield. And what, we've won like three of our last 24 derbies or something like that.
Our last win at Anfield was 1999, so we were three.
Yeah. Didn't go into it too much hope. The team selection ended up, I went into the game with a bit of hopes, I guess, but I think an hour before the game started, when the team sheets came out, I knew we were going to lose. I have all the time in the world for our young players in Holgate, Davies, Pennington and Calvert-Lewin, but I think in a Merseyside derby at Anfield, I don't think they're... Look, I think Holgate should have started, I think Davies should have started, but it's just one of those ones where I think we went in with a bit too much youth and we got exposed a lot. And it's all good and well for Liverpool fans saying, oh, we didn't have the likes of Henderson and Lallana and stuff, but it's obvious Liverpool do have better depth than what Everton do. They just went into it with a better frame of mind than us, and they got the chockies. And I was gutted as well, because it literally feels like we play 36 games a season. It just feels like the two derbies just don't count as games for us these days, because every single season it just seems like it's just two losses. And so it literally feels like we're playing 36 games a season. Because since the derby in December, we'd only lost one game, and that was away against Tottenham leading into this game. And, yeah, it looked like we'd been playing like bloody Sunderland all season, realistically. It's not how we play. We're not that bad. Joel's not that bad. We're not that bad. We're a very good team. And I'm weirdly optimistic going into the game against United at Old Trafford, because it's just one of those ones where I think the players will want to redeem what they've done and stuff. And, yeah, the Barkley should have been sent off as well. Davies was lucky to stay in the future. So it just all went tits up. And then it felt like when Pennington equalised, it felt like things could change and stuff and we could go on with it. But then in typical Everton fashion at Anfield, they just went down the other end and scored basically straight away. And that was that, realistically. I'm not going to take anything away from Liverpool. They were the better team. I was pretty gutted.
I just want to point out Mason Holgate didn't play horrible, but I wouldn't say he played well.
He's not a wing back.
No, and you know what it's reminded me
of? He's a
fullback.
I was going
to say, he sort of reminds me of John Stones when he first came into the team, couldn't crack into the starting 11, but he played at right back and... it's not a bit around the bush. He did struggle at right back. He's not a right back. He can fill in at right back, but he isn't a right back. Realistically, Holgate looks the same, and that he looks uncomfortable at right back. He doesn't know when to go on and push forward. He did produce a good few opportunities for us. He had the most shots on goal out of anybody in our team on Saturday. But realistically, I think he's better in a back three as a right sided back. Centre back or the right, the back three,
yeah,
or even a back four. So, in a sense, I know Pennington scored I probably wouldn't have liked to see him play, though, just because he literally hasn't played this season.
Holgate's a weird one for me, because it depends on what you'd class as the right back of Holgate, realistically. I think in a flat four, with Holgate at right back, Williams at right centre back, Jagielka at left centre back, and Baines at left back, I think Holgate would be fine. And I think that's how we'll go into the game at Old Trafford against United tomorrow morning. And I think Holgate will be perfectly fine. But in a three at the back and he's playing as a wing back, no. He's not a wing back at all. Like, he can attack, but as a wing back, he got way too exposed. But as a right back, I think he's perfectly fine as a right back. He's not a right back, he's a centre back. But I think in just a flat four, he's perfectly fine. And he's proven that he's perfectly fine at a flat four. But in the five at the back or three at the back formation, whatever you want to call it, he's not a wing back in the slightest. If we're going to play that five at the back formation, we need to have him at right centre back and Jonjo Kenny at right wing back, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, Jonjo Kenny is essentially a wing back, so.
Exactly. Even Aaron Lennon. Like, I know Lennon's unavailable this week, but even Aaron Lennon, I think, could do a shift at rolling back. But let's just forget about this game that happened, because we play 36 games this season.
Watford hosted Sunderland in this fixture, the 1-0 in the end. Miguel Britos scoring in the 59th minute. That's all she wrote. Realistically, a pretty dull game.
I didn't watch it. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be dull this podcast as well, because I kind of cracked the shits massively on Saturday night and any other football I didn't watch. The only highlights I've watched at the Tottenham game and the Chelsea Crystal Palace game, so I'm going to be horrible this podcast. Obviously, I watched the Arsenal City game as well, but every other game, I wasn't watching the fucking highlights packages, because then the Merseyside derby would come up again.
Mm. Yep, don't blame me. Jordan Pickford had a big game for Sunderland. He couldn't quite keep the clean sheet for Watford, but he faced a barrage of shots, 23 shots in total. Pickford just conceding the one, made a total of 9 saves for the day for the young keeper, who's very highly touted and linked with a move to Everton. I'd be buzzing if we could get Pickford as our number one. And he can stick around for a few seasons. But, he's a good young keeper. Gomez, on the other hand, also had a big game for Watford, keeping a clean sheet. Made 3 decent saves, and Sunderland couldn't quite get the points. But Watford, a good win for them. I think it pretty much puts Sunderland in a very tricky predicament. They already were in one, but just even worse, realistically. Watford look like they've survived this season with that win. They move up to 34 points, which is 7 points clear of relegation, with just the 9 games left. So good on them. They were good earlier in the season, but alas, they couldn't quite replicate their early season form. But looks like they're safe, Jake, which is good to see.
Mm.
Yeah,
I literally have no idea what to say. I didn't watch anything on this game. Watford had done all right. They deserve to stay up, and Sunderland going down.
United, on the other hand, they struggled at home against West Brom. Well, not struggled, they, in typical United fashion, they dominate all facets of the game. 18 shots to 3, 75% possession, 500 more passes of the ball, and they draw 0-0. How many times have we seen this happen this season? It's ridiculous.
It's at Old Trafford as well. It's happened like 4 times at Old Trafford. I don't understand.
Neither do I. West Brom actually hit the woodwork and arguably had the best chance of the game, apart from a Rashford free kick that Foster pretty much clawed out of the back of his net. Look, I mean, it's good for Everton. It keeps us within touching distance of United. If United had won this, I think there's no chance of us catching them this season or top 5. But if we do get a win tomorrow against them, then it just changes the whole scheme of it all.
West Brom, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to lose. West Brom. They didn't play well, but like they've done most of the season, even if they've been the second best team on the pitch, they've somehow found a result out of the game. And they've found results in 20 of their 30 games this season, so good on them. I think it's a good result for West Brom, if anything. United, obviously, like you said, they've done this a fair few times this season, and
They should be, in my opinion, and it's a bit harsh on Tottenham, but United should be up there fighting for the title with Chelsea. With the football they play sublime football. But I reckon you could pinpoint about four or five times that they've drawn this season that they should have quite easily won. So if you add on, say, 12 points to the tally right now on games that they should have won, they're sitting 4 points behind Chelsea. So that's their own fault, realistically, because they've got the team, they've got the players, they've got the manager, they've done everything correct for themselves, but they're just, I guess, a bunch of bottlers.
Next season, maybe.
As I said a few podcasts ago, Mourinho in his second season.
Leicester City, they hosted Stoke City in the Battle of the Cities, Jake. Ndidi scored in the 25th minute for Leicester. An absolute peach of a goal outside the box, top right-hand corner, Jamie Vardy. Followed the entree from Ndidi to serve the main course with a superb volley in the 47th minute. Two very great goals for Leicester, and that's all she wrote in a 2-0 victory, Jake. Leicester City dominating, shots 23-10. For more possession for Stoke City, though. But at the end of the day, Leicester's run of form continues. They move up to 13th. Stoke City stay in 9th. And a good win for Leicester, who have looks like they're not going to get relegated this season.
Yeah, well, I was looking at this actually this morning. I was just having a look at the results and having a look at the table. So I actually had an idea of what was going on over the week of football. So I didn't sound like a spastic this podcast. But if Stoke won this, Leicester would have... Like, I know Leicester have obviously improved since sacking Ranieri, but still with the same sense, if Stoke won this, Leicester would have only been 3 points clear of relegation. So it's a very, very big win for Leicester in the context because, like, everyone's saying how they were clear of relegation before this week and stuff, and they're flying and stuff. But and obviously it helps with the fact that Hull won, but... They weren't like 110% clear, and they're only 6 points off relegation now too. And I don't think they're going to get relegated. But it's just weird to look back at. Like, if they hadn't have got the win here, they'd be sitting 16th, and that's like realistically, it's still not that good. So, yeah, big win for them.
Moving on to that game you mentioned, Hull City.
I love the transition. It just wasn't executed great.
Your mate Andy Carroll, the man that's going to win the Golden Boot, scored. As you have to do to win the Golden Boot. In the 18th minute to give West Ham the lead away against Hull. But from there, it just went tits up for West Ham as Andrew Robertson, of all players, scored in the 53rd minute. Before Andrea Ranocchia, the player on loan from Inter, I think, he scored in the 85th minute. And Hull City beat West Ham 2-1, a season which West Ham would like to forget, as they are not clear of relegation.
It's weird. Look at who they're playing. They've got Arsenal this week.
I mean, who knows what can happen if Hull and Middlesbrough and Swansea, Crystal Palace, Burnley all get up.
No, but if you actually look at it in the context, like West Ham aren't doing that good, obviously. And they've still got to play Arsenal away, Everton at home, Tottenham away, Liverpool at home. So, and they've got Burnley away, and Burnley are very, very good at Burnley as well. And they've got Stoke away. It's never easy to travel Stoke. So, like, I don't think they're going to get relegated, but they're the furthest thing from clear on it.
If they lose this week and Hull City win, and Hull City are within 3 points of West Ham, they've got Middlesbrough at home, Hull, then it's certainly on for young and old. Because Hull still have to verse Watford at home, Stoke away, Sunderland at home, Palace away. There's a lot of very intriguing fixtures left for Hull, and they can definitely
catch up. Even Palace aren't clear. If Palace hadn't have beaten fucking Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, if Chelsea had a one, Palace would be 1 point off relegation as well. And we're all saying how good Swansea have been and stuff since sacking their manager, but they're only 1 point above relegation at the moment. So
it's certainly set up to be an intriguing end of the season. More so than the team that lost this week that sits at the top of the table because they still look like they've won the league. But it does have a few question marks over their capabilities, Chelsea, because Tottenham are fast approaching with their form. But that team, Chelsea, they hosted Crystal Palace, and it looked like it was going to be a good day for them when Fabregas propped up in the fifth minute to give them the lead. But within a space of 6 minutes, Jake, they were 2-1 down. Wilfried Zaha scored a superb goal in the ninth minute. He's in some form, isn't he?
He's class.
He should be getting a transfer to a much bigger club in the league. imagine. Velasio on one wing, Zaha on the other.
That would literally make Palace fans fucking cringe.
Zaha was in the provider with a superb assist for Benteke in the 11th minute. He had a big game, Zaha. But Palace, like you said, getting that victory just really not only puts a big question mark over who's going to get relegated this season, but who's going to win the league, because Tottenham have been very good and their form doesn't look like it's going to slow down, because it's only 7 points. I know we've
banged on. And Tottenham play Swansea this week and Chelsea play Man City.
If results go their way, Tottenham, they are a decent shout to win the league. And everyone's been banging on about how Chelsea's already won the league this season. Chelsea don't play Tottenham for the rest of the season, unfortunately. They play them in the FA Cup.
Okay, so the next 3 weeks with the title challenge, Tottenham play Swansea away and Chelsea play Man City at home. So that could be like a 2-point gain for Tottenham there. Then Tottenham play Watford at home and Chelsea play Bournemouth away, which you'd think both would win that, but you never know with Bournemouth away. And then Chelsea play United away and Tottenham play Bournemouth at home.
It could.
You never know. 3 weeks. You never know.
I fancy Tottenham to win all of those.
Yeah, so do I. And I reckon Chelsea will draw two of those and get a win. So that's already a 4-point increase for Tottenham on the gap right now. So that's then they'd be 3 points behind. And their goal difference, Chelsea only have a one better goal difference as well. I'd be surprised if Chelsea don't win the league. But
the only thing with Chelsea is they finished the season, the last three games, is Middlesbrough at home, West Brom away, Sunderland at home.
Yeah. West Brom would be a danger game for them.
West Brom would be a danger game. They've still got Everton
away as well. And
Sunderland
always pull out results late in the season too. So you never know. I still think Chelsea will win the league, but Tottenham definitely are not completely out of the race.
No, so, but it would take a miracle, realistically, for Chelsea to not win the league. But
I really hope Tottenham win it. Like, it'd just be boss to see Tottenham get the title over a big club. Like, I didn't really enjoy it last season when it was Leicester, because it could have been Everton if we had our fucking heads switched on. But, Tottenham deserve it. Like, they deserve a decent crack at it. But I think Chelsea will still get the title. But on this game, just quickly on this game as well, fair play to the Palace fans, because I think English football support's a bit dead at the moment. You don't really see, apart from the Kop End when it's a big game and the Palace fans at home, like they have that little corner where there's active support and stuff. You don't usually see fantastic atmospheres in Premier League games anymore. And the Palace fans that travelled to Stamford Bridge, they put on a very, very good show. A few flares. They were chanting throughout the whole game, echoing through the stadium the whole game. And fair play to them. They're obviously great fans and stuff. And it just, you're sort of like, it's difficult because of the restrictions on English clubs and stuff. But it's just good to see that English support and like, not it's not just much like ultras or anything like that, but like people that chant for 90 minutes and go nuts for 90 minutes, it's not all dead. So it was very good to see, because I wish that would be a part of every Premier League game, because I feel like atmosphere is something definitely lacking in the Premier League lately. That's just my take.
Yeah. Let's not look at Facebook for the time being here, Jake, because we'll probably cry. Eric Dyer.
Don't do that
to me
now, I'm on Facebook.
Eric Dyer scored for Tottenham in the 66th minute as the team we were just talking about, travelled to Burnley and won a hard fixture for them. Heung-min Son then scored in the 77th minute from a tap-in from a Dele Alli pass to give Tottenham a big win to keep them in the race for the title, as we've just specified. A tough place to travel, Burnley. They've been very good this season at home. Like we've been saying, their home form could keep them up this season, but if they keep losing a few at home, they're not clear of relegation and there's still a chance to go down. Tottenham, on the other hand, they're a steam train that just keeps rolling on, because this is a big for them, as they potentially could win the league, you never know. But a good win for them, and see if they can keep going, Jake.
Yeah. I just read Facebook. Yeah, good one, Rob. I think we were talking about a game that a team won.
Tottenham, yep.
Nah, I wasn't surprised. Oh, actually, I was surprised, actually. I tipped the draw in this game. So, because Burnley usually reasonably good at home. So, yeah, fair play to Tottenham. They're flying at the moment. We just sucked their dick for about 5 minutes before thinking they could win the league. So, yeah, especially without Harry Kane as well. Like, you got to remember, they're doing all this without Harry Kane at the moment. So if they add a Harry Kane back into their team, hopefully in the next few weeks, I don't know how long he's out for. But if they can do that soon, then that's obviously another added boost.
That is not incorrect there, Jake. Southampton hosted Bournemouth. A surprise result that Southampton didn't get the win here. Funnily enough, Bournemouth actually... Oh, no, they didn't. I was going to say they had more shots. They didn't, don't worry. Southampton got the draw. Bournemouth probably will be happier with the result. Southampton's season hasn't really taken off, and it's unfortunate for them. The form of Gabbiadini has dropped off. He's probably because he's injured at the moment, but... I mean, you could link it together.
I can't say. Like, I was thinking that he may have been able to score a few goals in the last few weeks while out with injury, but yeah.
I don't think there's anything more to say on this game. Probably much like the next game, Swansea 0, Middlesbrough 0. Yeah, look, I mean, this game produced 23 shots on goal, and there wasn't one scored because only four of them were on target. I think it pretty much sums up a relegation scrap of a game. What else can we really add? There's nothing. The other game we can add to, Arsenal hosted Man City, had a 2-2 draw. Leroy Sané scored in the 5th minute. Theo Walcott pulled it back to 1-1, so in the 40th, with a goal Aguero 2 minutes later, in typical Man City fashion, scoring to put him 2-1 up, but Mustafi just after halftime made it 2-2, and from there, Arsenal looked like they could score the winner, but it finished 2-2, both teams hitting the woodwork. Arsenal, it's a step in the right direction for them, I guess, this week. They've been very average for the most part of this second half of the season, but I guess a draw at home to Man City isn't a bad result. You've got to give them credit. I know we beat them 4-0 at home, haha, lol. But Arsenal, considering what they've been doing so far this year, I think they'll probably take a draw at home to Man City, and hopefully it's sort of a result that can kickstart them a little bit and they can get a few more results. But for them, a good result. For Man City, I'm sure they probably would have been hoping for a little bit more from this game.
Fair play to Arsenal, bringing it back, but Man City should have definitely won this game. They were dominating pretty much from start to finish, literally from start, because they scored like 4 minutes into the game. But it was a really weird game to watch, because it wasn't that entertaining, because like, they both try to play very similar style of football. Like Arsenal, although they haven't really done it over the last 10 years, obviously, are always trying to be like the Barcelona of the Premier League, like consistent passing possession. And obviously Man City are doing similar with Guardiola coming into the team to manage the team and stuff. So it's a really weird game to watch. And whenever big teams play against each other, you don't really expect too many goals. Like you expect like a 1-1 or something. But there was a few goals, obviously 2-2, but it was just a very, very boring game of football because both teams were trying to play the exact same style. So both teams knew what the other team were going to do, if that makes sense. It was okay. Like it was my game of the round, realistically, but there's not too many games to beat this round, with like 7 teams not scoring this round or 8 teams or something. So, by the way, Statman Jake, I did see on Facebook on the weekend as well. This round is, I don't know how to word this properly. I forgot to retweet it. But it's the most that a team hasn't scored, if that makes sense. Like, with, like, eight teams not scoring, that's the most that's happened in a round of Premier League this season.
Oh.
So the most before that was something like round seven where six teams went scoreless. How many teams went scoreless? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 teams went scoreless, Jordan.
What a luxury.
You don't usually see that too much in the Premier League these days. Like, there's obviously teams to go scores every now and then. Like, not every team scores every single week, but with 19, that's nearly half the teams in the Premier League not scoring this week. So, yeah, a bit odd. There's a little fun fact for those playing at home with their testicles.
Yeah, me. We'll kick on. That's all the games. We'll quickly just have a look at the table. Chelsea first, Tottenham second, like we've been saying a bit. There's a chance that Tottenham could catch them, but they're 7 points short at the moment. Liverpool have a game less than them and sit 3 points further back. So you wouldn't think they're challenged for the title at this stage. Man City in fourth. Ping! Manchester United in fifth. Arsenal in sixth. Everton in seventh. They look like they're going to be the top seven. Everton currently 6 points above eighth place. West Bromwich Albion. Stoke City in 9th, Southampton in 10th, make up the top 10. AFC Snortsmith, they alongside Watford, also on 34 points with Southampton, so it's just goal difference separating them at the moment. Leicester and West Ham next in line on 33, Burnley on 32, Crystal Palace 31, so a very tight tussle there between 10th and 16th, separated by 3 points. Swansea, they sit 3 points further back in 17th. Hull, top relegation zone. Middlesbrough, 19th. Sunderland sit bottom and look like they'll get relegated, but we know what they've done before, and it wouldn't surprise many to see them do it again, or probably would surprise many more other than different seasons. I don't know. Lukaku sits first in the golden boot, as he has done for the last 2 weeks. Now Harry Kane, second. Alexis Sanchez, third on 18. Sigurdsson, alongside De Bruyne, at the top of the Dishmaster. Eriksen in third. Alexis Sanchez sits further back. All of them having big seasons for their respective clubs, Jake. Good on them. Let's talk about tomorrow's games and Thursday's. We'll quickly do a quick predictions here because I got to play some golf. Burnley at home to Stoke City, Jake.
2-0 win to Burndoggers.
Burnley have won just one of their five previous Premier League games against Stoke. Which doesn't bode well. I think it's
in all
be a
fairness,
draw.
Though, Stoke have been decent before this season. Yeah. Not saying Stoke is shit this season, but like they're not. Like it's weird. The last three seasons in a row, Stoke have finished ninth, and right now they're sitting ninth. So they're like the Richmond of the Premier League.
Watford host West Brom. I'm going for a draw, by the way. Watford host West Brom. Watford haven't won a home league game against West Brom since 1994. So.
Be a draw.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win this one then. probably.
Yeah.
Be a draw.
Yeah, be a draw.
Leicester City host Sunderland in this one. Leicester have never lost a Premier League home match against Sunderland, winning 4 and drawing 2 of their 6 Premier League games. However, Sunderland have won 2 of their last 4 visits to King Power Stadium. That makes no sense.
Literally none.
How have Leicester never... Oh, the championship. They won them both in the championship.
Yep. That's it.
Oh, it's different, though. I mean, Leicester's not going to win.
Same, but different.
Leicester's still going to win, but...
Same, yeah, Leicester will win. Yeah. Jamie Vardy will score a hat-trick.
United, they host Everton. Manchester United have lost just one of their last 23 home games against Everton, losing 1-0 in 2013. Oh, yeah, baby.
They're about to do the exact
same. Koeman is actually looking to become the first manager in Premier League history to win 3 consecutive away games at Old Trafford. Obviously, his last two were with Southampton. So, he could do it. I think it's going to be a draw here, Jake. But
yeah,
it'll be a tough game for both teams, I reckon.
Actually, no, I reckon United will win. Pogba is in doubt, so it gives me some sort of hope. And Mata is out, so I don't know. But Schneiderlin's confirmed that he's not going to be playing and stuff, so it's just going to be one of those where United have played like shit. Well, not played like shit, but United haven't been able to pick up results against so many teams this season. And then they'll come out and play like Barcelona, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich combining and stuff.
Dicks. Southampton host Crystal Palace, Jake. Can
they do.
Crystal Palace turn around and get two consecutive wins away? St Kilda, Southampton, have lost just one of their last 13 home league games. They've won the 5 in a row against Palace at home. Going to be 6. I think Southampton will bounce back from their result on the weekend and get a win.
I think it's going to be a Southampton win, Jordan. Gabby Udine is going to come off the bench. I don't even know if he's available, but he's going to come off the bench and score a late winner.
Swansea City host Tottenham Hotspur. Tough game for both teams. Swansea have never beaten Tottenham in 11 attempts in the Premier League, drawing 2 and losing 9. Tottenham, on the other hand, have scored in all 11 of their Premier League fixtures against Swansea, scoring 25 goals in those 11 games. Tottenham have actually faced... of all teams, Tottenham have faced 10 or more times in the Premier League. They have the highest win rate, 82%, and goals per game average 2.6 against Swansea. So they fare their best against Swansea, certainly not their bogey team. And I think it's going to continue with a Tottenham away win.
Yeah, Tottenham will win this one, mate.
Hull City host Middlesbrough at the KCOM Stadium. Hull have lost their last 2 league games against the Borough. They've never lost 3 in a row against them before. So maybe record broken, who knows? I think this one's going to be a draw at the KCOM, Jake.
I think Hull City are going to get the 3 points, Jordan. Umar Nias will score a hat-trick.
Arsenal host West Brom in the London Derby. Arsenal have lost... Arsenal have lost just one of their...
I thought you said West Brom.
Oh, I probably did. I meant West Ham. Arsenal have lost just one of their last 17 Premier League games against West Ham. Although it did come in this exact fixture last season. Although West Ham were good last season. Arsenal are 13 wins and 3 draws prior to that in the last 17. So, what?
I just found it funny that you said West Brom versus Arsenal in the London Derby. I was like, what the fuck? Arsenal will win.
Yeah,
Arsenal. And Wenger will sign a 2-year contract after the game.
Imagine the scenes and the fume. Liverpool host AFC Bournemouth at Anfield. Liverpool have won all 4 of their previous home meetings with Bournemouth in all competitions, scoring 10 goals and conceding twice. Bournemouth won the reverse of this fixture in December, despite trailing 3-1 in the final 15 minutes. I think Liverpool will win, but good on Bournemouth for winning in the reverse fixture.
No, I think Bournemouth will win because it will just infuriate me even more that anyone could go to Anfield and get a win, but Everton can't.
Chelsea, on the other hand, they can probably play at home and win against Man City. Chelsea haven't lost back-to-back home games against City since 1983. Guardiola has never lost both league games against a single opponent in a season as a manager in his career. So, realistically, he's only managed teams like Bayern Munich and Chelsea, and I don't even know, and Barcelona probably. But I think Chelsea will win.
I think it'll be a draw.
Oh wait, Guardiola manages City, not Chelsea. That's right. Wow. Okay. If Chelsea win, that's funny. I don't know. Yeah, well, that's all she wrote for the preview, Jake. Just saying.
Not wrong.
Yeah. Any last thoughts?
Did you know more chili? That more chili, yeah, the fucking game on the pokies.
Yep.
Yeah. More chili on average pays out 20% more than any other pokie machine.
Yeah, because you can... You get a good chance of getting those bonus rounds because you get heaps of chilies.
Yeah. That's my final thoughts of the podcast.
I write that. I'm going to invest all my money into that.
I think that should be the headline on the Facebook page. That should be the quote. because you know how you do quotes of me, like every single podcast these days.
Yeah, and I decided not to quote myself.
I think that that should be the quote.
Maybe that's the case. All right, we'll be back on probably Thursday or Friday or wherever we can be bothered doing the A-League podcast. Probably Thursday, to be honest. Wait, we have to do an EPL podcast on Friday. Yeah, Thursday would be... yeah. until Thursday, though, Jake, when we do the A-League podcast.
Have a night. I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?